BBC, Holby City. Starring Lashana Jolly as Elizabeth, Guy Henry as Hanson, Hugh Quashie as Rick, and Bob Barrett as Sasha. Step On Up by Gillian Richmond. Previously, Rick arrives on Keller.
Great to see you back.
It's good to be back.
The Bhatti Clinic wants to expand out here. Plastic surgery is more than just boob jobs. It's about stuff that matters.
Little Dan!
Big gag. Go on, son, scream.
You sound upset, Elizabeth.
It's not a work thing.
It's okay to be vulnerable sometimes, you know.
I'm not upset. I just find it hard to forget things.
The board are considering the possibility of a plastic surgery department. Split resources, beds, theatre time.
Meaning my department could suffer.
Who knows where it'll go.
Two people in scrubs and white shoes are glimpsed as one chases the other up the stairs. A panicked Elizabeth bursts out of a doorway, then rushes down a fire escape. She looks back at someone unseen.
Please, leave me alone.
The previous day.
Okay, now if you follow me, I think this one should be fairly straightforward. Good morning, Mrs. Cook. How are you feeling? You said you didn't mind. Mrs. Cook presented to ED last night with severe lower right side abdominal pain and a temperature of 38.3. Mrs. Cook is also experiencing nausea, vomiting, and diarrhea. Blood show an elevated white cell count, but U's and E's show no sign of kidney failure. Any suggestions?
The medical students look blank.
Come on, don't be shy. Someone? Anyone? Then perhaps Nurse Tate can enlighten us. Don't be misled by her tender years. Owing to staff shortages, she is today acting up as ward sister. Nurse Tate?
It's not my place.
She doesn't want to show you up. The consummate professional. Everything by the book.
Thank you, Mr. Griffin.
Appendicitis, ladies and gentlemen. Appendicitis. Thank you, Mrs. Cook. Right, let's move on.
In the car park.
Good morning, Mr. Hanson. Another day, another dollar.
Oh, is that how you perceive our work of curing the sick and saving lives?
It was a joke.
Why did you become a doctor, I wonder?
Oh, I don't know, the usual. Good Jewish boy. Medicine fought the law and the law won.
And that would be another joke?
Yes.
Do you enjoy your job?
Yes, yes, I do, yes. Very much, thank you.
Where do you see yourself in 5 years' time?
Oh, in this car park, walking to this hospital, ready for another day's work, probably.
As a registrar?
I suppose. Well, if you'll excuse me, I don't want to be late on. Come back.
No.
No, you won't excuse me?
No, you won't be going to Keller.
I'm sorry?
ARU.
I'm not sure I understand.
Well, Mr. Spencer will be spending more time on the new plastics initiative, so I'm looking for an experienced pair of hands to run acute admissions.
Like, just for today?
Like, not just for today.
Me?
You.
I'm obviously very flaccid, Mr. Hanson. I just don't think I'm cut out for full-time ARU.
Oh. Well, very well. I'll go ahead and advertise the post.
Thank you.
Unfortunately, that will entail making a registrar from our current staff redundant.
Oh.
Do you think, Mr. Levy, you might be able to step up?
From a distance, someone in scrubs comes walking along the corridor to AAU. It's Sasha. He buzzes himself into the unit, then absorbs the organized chaos going on around him. A drunken patient puts up his jukes, and a woman sings as she pushes her drip.
Okay, I will see you shortly.
Got to see some real doctoring, Sash. Medicine on the edge, watch and learn.
I'm here to watch the show, I'm here to run it.
AAU.
Yes,
you?
Yes.
You sure you're up to it?
Yes.
Well, I hope you've all the caffeine pills. It's not like killer down here, mate. No time for little naps. You'll have to do some proper doctoring.
I have worked on AAU before, actually.
Yeah, but you were younger then. And prettier. Gonna have to up your game.
Mary Claire looks up from her magazine.
Hey, Sash. Welcome to Bedlam.
No, Chrissy?
Day off. Well, what's your star sign?
Sorry, Mary Claire, are you on a break?
No. AAU. Yeah, Elizabeth, it's right here on the desk. Sorry, we're actually a bit pressed at the minute. You'll have to come get it yourself. Only wanted me to pop up to Keller with these patient notes.
If you're not on a break,
This is Ida Cameron, collapsed at home, severe abdo pain. ED's given her 10 milligrams of morphine, started fluids and shunted her 3. Now, I told them we haven't got a bed, but they've sent her up anyway.
Mrs. Cameron, hello, I'm Sasha Levy.
I told those other people.
Unfortunately, I haven't got a bed free just at the minute.
I don't want to be here.
I'm going to park you in this corner over here.
I want to go home.
I'm sorry, this nurse here will take care of you.
I want to go home.
Isn't there some work you could be getting on with?
Chill, Sasha.
I think it's Mr. Levy on the ward.
I want to see the man in charge!
That'd be me.
Why don't I get on with some obs?
What a marvellous idea.
Sasha steps aside and casts his eye over his extremely busy new domain.
Doctor!
Morning.
Morning.
Good weekend?
Yeah, did some more work on my allergenic transfusions paper, swam 50 lengths, spent a few hours at the gym.
Sounds exhausting.
How was your weekend?
Sam and I went to the pub.
Sam?
Yes, floppy ears, wet nose. Sam, Samson, my dog.
Oh, I thought it died. Elliot, why is this bay done up like a bordello?
You flatter me, Miss Naylor.
What is he doing here?
Come with me, let me explain.
Doctor! Doctor! Doctor!
What's up?
Doctor!
Nurse, tell her I'll be with her in a minute. Ah, Elizabeth.
I've come to collect some patient notes.
And there I was thinking you were missing the Levy je ne sais quoi. Is the one?
Doctor! Doctor!
Elizabeth recognises the patient, Ida, and flees.
Thank you, Mr. Levy. You're welcome, Nurse Tate. Two words, Marie Claire.
What?
Patient. Throughput.
Elizabeth is standing in the stairwell with a worried, preoccupied look on her face. On Darwin.
Hanson really thought he could just slip this through and we wouldn't notice.
I'm sure that wasn't his...
Oh, really? Why else would he send it across on a Friday evening? Our department is under threat of being cut. Do you want to see Darwin transformed into a plastics ward?
No, of course not, but...
You don't seem very bothered, Elliot.
I've been at this game a long time. I've seen all this before.
If Hanson thinks he can just hand our beds over to plastics and all we're going to do is lie back and wave our legs in the
air... There's not a lot we can do.
So you're just going to accept it?
These are challenging times, Jack. The whole hospital's going through a period of cutbacks, realignments and...
What are you, Hanson's poodle?
No. More of a Labrador. Watching, waiting,
and doing nothing.
I am just suggesting that we don't rush into doing or saying things that we may later have cause to regret.
Elliot, if we don't fight this, we're going to find ourselves in the dole queue, and trust me, that is not a good look.
Good morning, good morning. A small gift to introduce myself.
How very kind.
I look forward to a long and fruitful friendship on Darwin Ward.
Jam donuts, a particular favourite of mine and mine. Obviously a man of taste. You haven't seen my HEC papers, have you?
You're thinking about a committee meeting. You'll excuse us. I'm sure we were talking about a cardiothoracic issue.
Oh, not a problem. I'll just... I'll just pop these down over here.
Oh, stop! My committee papers. You're a genius. Those donuts look very tempting.
You are more than welcome.
Out of interest, Mr. Barty, your patient in Bay 3. What's she in for?
Abdominoplasty.
Oh, a tummy tuck, really, on the NHS?
Yes. Mrs. Evans recently lost nearly 10 stone in weight.
Mm. Perhaps she could give me a few tips.
Unfortunately, her weight loss led to a certain quantity of excess skin, on top of which there's some rather nasty scarring from previous abdominal surgery, so I think we can help.
That's marvellous.
It is, isn't it? Well, I'll leave you to your meeting. Enjoy.
Thank you. What a delightful chap.
What are you doing? We don't accept gifts from the enemy.
Don't be silly.
Elliot, we have patients on our waiting list with life-threatening conditions, and he is clogging up our beds with old biddies with flabby bellies. This has to stop. Whose side are you actually on? Where's the elective surgery list? Keller?
Lizzie?
Mr. Levy?
I'm after a bed.
OK.
For Mrs. Ida Cameron?
I'm afraid that won't be possible.
Well, come on, Lizzie, bear, don't tell me you haven't got a single bed for your old mate, Sasha. Not one.
In AAU.
Patience. Throughput.
Thing of beauty.
I didn't know you had it in you, old man.
Watch and learn, Mr. H.
A sullen-looking Ida Cameron is wheeled out on a trolley. Sasha and Mary Claire wait till she's out of the door, then high-five. The doors instantly open to admit a new patient.
OK, this is Robert Parker, age 22. Traumatic injuries from suspected fall from scaffolding, 12 floors up, fall broken by a tree. OK, we'll have him in here, please.
Shouldn't he be in the ED?
They said bring him straight to you, guys.
Right. OK. Gently, on my count. One, two, three. Thanks, guys. ATLS, ABCs, IV lines, O2. I'd better bring on the cavalry.
Check all over, Mr. Hamilton.
Yeah. Hello, Mr. Parker. Can you hear me? I'm Sasha Levy, and this is Holby General Hospital, OK? Chop, chop, Mary Claire. Chop, chop.
Yes, sir.
I told the man downstairs! I don't want to be here! Why won't anyone listen to me? I don't want to be here! You?
Hello.
You're a lucky chap, Mr. Parker. That safety helmet probably saved your life, that and the tree that broke your fall.
Mr. Hamilton's on his way.
Great.
So, how'd it happen?
Missed my footing.
How'd you do that?
Just had other things on my mind.
Like what?
My thesis, probably.
Thought you were a builder.
Yeah, they probably had grants when you were at university.
Thesis, eh? Sounds clever. What's it on?
Polymeric metalloporphyrin.
Splendid. Anyway, anyone you need to notify? Family? Girlfriend?
No.
Fine.
No one at all?
No one.
Excuse me. You are allowed to spend a bit of time talking to patients, Sasha.
Do you mind, Nurse Carter?
Mr. Levy.
Elizabeth draws the curtain around Ida's bed.
I want to go home. Get me an ambulance.
I can't do that.
Well, I walk. Where are my clothes?
In the locker.
Well, give them to me!
I could try calling you a cab.
Rick arrives.
Mrs. Cameron? Ida. I'm Rick Griffin, your consultant. Everything all right?
Yes, fine.
Not leaving us, I hope?
No.
Right, well, I'll be along to see you very shortly. Just a few minutes.
I want you to get me out of here.
I'll do what I can to move things
I'm on. Not spending a night in this place.
I said I will do what I can.
Rick.
I need the latest post-op infection report, GP referral figures for the last 6 months, and anything else that's going to make us look good. So very satisfying, Elliot, seeing a plan come together.
Jack, are you absolutely sure that this is necessary?
Hanson thinks there's cash in plastics. I'm about to demonstrate the economic potential of our work. Elliot, some of these patients have been waiting for their surgery for months, and today they've hit the jackpot. Get it? Jackpot.
Very funny.
Ms. Naylor?
Yes, Mr.
Clark Jones.
Mr. Clark Jones, mid-cab.
That's right. I want to thank you for this operation. It's going to transform my life. You're a saint.
Well, I'm just doing my job. Nurse, could you settle Mr. Clark Jones into Bay 3, please? I'll be along to talk to you very shortly.
Bay 3 is the plastic surgery bay.
Mm. It's the only free bed left in the ward. Oh, and nurse, could you change those curtains back to blue, please?
Now you're just being provocative.
This is about the patients, Elliot. I'm doing it for them. Elliot, did you hear what that man said to me? He called me a saint.
I'm going to be late for my meeting.
Saint Jack, the patron saint of the minimally invasive bypass. I like.
She watches the curtains being changed with a satisfied smile.
Everything under control?
She doesn't want to be here.
Hospital phobic?
Any chance of sending her home with a note for our GP?
Well, not now she's been admitted. Look, why don't you just pass her on to another nurse?
You're short-staffed, Mr. Griffin.
Well, even so, you don't have to tolerate abuse.
I can cope. I am acting ward sister after all.
Sometimes, Elizabeth, you are seriously impressive.
Sure.
Yes. I'll pass the message on.
No neck fracture, lungs are inflated, no pneumothorax, no fractured ribs, urine analysis and tox screen.
All clear.
She wants to come and see you. What shall I tell her?
Just tell her I'm no good to her.
Mary Claire moves away from Robert's bed.
Is there any chance of getting him onto orthopods? Dan, I really need the bed.
Head scan looks okay. No cranial injury, no cerebral bleed.
Okay, his medical history. Old head injury, perhaps. Looks ancient.
Agreed. So, moving on. Ah, here we go. There's a posterior hip dislocation, and that looks like a nasty fracture of the pelvis. It's putting pressure on the sciatic nerve.
Ouch.
Is he hemodynamically stable?
Yes.
So let's reduce the dislocation straight away, then we can look at the fracture. I'll need a hand.
You gonna do it down here?
Yeah, it won't take long.
Can you prep him, please?
Louis said he didn't have a girlfriend. Someone's just called and said she was his fiancée.
We need to get him into theatre, Mary Claire.
Yeah, but when I told him...
Can you prep him?
Sasha?
Yes, Dan, coming. Prep him.
I want to go home.
Well, we need to find out what's causing this pain. And at your age, we can't afford to take any chances. But don't worry, we won't keep you a minute longer than we need to.
Doctor, do you think it's serious?
I'll know more when I get your results.
But do you think it's cancer?
Let's not run ahead of ourselves.
Rick leaves Elizabeth alone with Ida.
Have to take your blood pressure.
She wraps the cuff around Ida's arm.
Mr. Griffin's a fantastic doctor. The best in the hospital.
I can't stay a night in this place. What if she calls and I'm not at home?
Try not to worry, Grandma.
Mrs. Cameron, to you.
Fell off scaffolding, did you say?
Yes.
Laughing about?
He said his mind was somewhere else and he lost his footing.
All set, team? Stabilise the pelvis for me, please, and apply gentle posterior force. Thinking about a woman, I suppose?
Apparently not.
That's the other team, does he?
It's not really my business to ask.
OK, so I'm now going to bring the femoral head from behind the acetabular rim by applying longitudinal distraction. Gently, Dan. Gently. And here we go. And there you have it, unless I'm much mistaken. One hip, correctly relocated. Impressed, Mr. Levy?
Miss Naylor?
Mr. Barty?
I think there's been a mistake.
Really?
Yeah, there appears to be a cardiac patient in one of my beds.
No mistake.
I'm sorry?
I had a patient. The ward was full, the bed was empty.
I see.
I tried to check it with you, but you were too busy on Holby Care. I hope it won't be a problem.
Well, I did have a breast reduction booked in, but, well, I guess I can postpone for 24 hours.
That's very cooperative of you.
I'm a very cooperative kind of guy.
Excellent. Me too.
Miss Naylor, forgive me. I'm new to the NHS, but aren't there guidelines on mixed bays?
That's right.
Yeah, it's just that with your Mr. Mid-cab in with my lady tummy tuck.
It's not ideal, but in the current circumstances, I'm confident their bed-hopping days are long past.
Absolutely. Too horrible to even contemplate.
Jack saunters off looking smug. Rick and Elizabeth return to Ida's bedside.
Mrs. Cameron, I've had the results of your blood tests and I'm afraid there's still no clear picture.
What does that mean?
Well, I'm arranging for you to have some scans.
How long will that take?
No, not long.
Then I can go home.
I see that there's no next of kin in your notes.
I didn't want my daughter worried.
How is she?
It's none of your business.
Do you have any other family?
I had a granddaughter once, but not now.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Does your daughter know you're sick?
Do I have to talk to her?
We're just trying to help you, Mrs. Cameron.
And I want to go home.
Well, that's what we want too.
And just I want to go home now.
I'm afraid we're going to have to keep you in for another day, maybe two.
2 days?
Well, just to find out what...
But she said I'd be out of here today.
I didn't.
She's a liar.
I didn't lie.
Why do you put up with her?
Well, Mrs. Cameron...
She's bad.
I really think
she always has been.
I must ask
she's
you
a
now.
Bad girl.
No.
Bad girl!
Mrs. Cameron...
Bad girl!
You can't be nursing your own grandmother.
I'm sorry.
What happened to doing things by the book? What's going on here, Elizabeth? What's the big secret?
There's no secret. I left home when I was 16. I haven't been back since. May I go now?
Are you okay to do your job?
Yes, I'm fine. May I go?
Get someone else to nurse her.
Elizabeth makes to leave Rick's office, but then turns back at the door.
Mr. Griffin, I really am sorry.
You've already said that. You say sorry a lot.
Do I? Sorry.
He smiles, but she doesn't. Mary Claire notices a woman weeping at Robert's bedside before being drawn away to answer the ward phone.
AAU.
Stubborn internal bleeding, is hemodynamically stable.
Pelvic area doesn't look too clever. Hardly surprising after a 12-storey
But we
fall.
Don't have a bed.
Who's that?
ED.
Gonna be a major reconstruction job. Don't think we'll need an external fixator. Definitive procedure should do.
All right, Dan, I know what I'm doing.
She's very pretty, you're Joanna. Been together long? She told me the two of you are engaged.
Yeah, we've been together about a year. Last night she wanted us to go to bed together, but not believing it for marriage. So, I proposed. It was a mistake. Do you want to leave me alone now?
So how about that bed, Dan?
No can do.
Dan!
Sorry, mate. Can't magic a bed out of nowhere.
But you said you could walk on water.
Is that what Chrissy told you?
They got engaged last night.
Chrissy and Dan?
Did they?
Isn't that what you're telling me?
No, I'm talking about Rob and his girlfriend.
Blood results? Bed four?
Maybe he didn't fall from that scaffolding. Maybe he jumped. What do you think?
I don't have time to think. I just treat them and street them. And bloods, bed four, don't forget.
We're currently performing over 500 procedures a year.
Well, that's very healthy, particularly in the current climate of reduced demand for cardiothoracics.
Our survival rate is nearly 97.5.
Well, above the national average.
And GP referrals are up.
Yes, but Miss Naylor, I can understand you perhaps feeling a little nervous about the plastics work, but it's a pilot study, it's a feasibility exercise.
So you haven't made any final decisions yet?
My concern is to safeguard the future of this hospital. If we can establish a viable plastics unit alongside our existing NHS portfolio, if we can make it run smoothly, then it will be for the benefit of us all. I'm sure I can count on your support.
Of course, at all times.
On Keller, Elizabeth has finished her shift and is out of uniform.
But don't forget, I'll be watching you, Mr. Malik.
Yes, sir.
Good night, Elizabeth.
Good night, Mr. Griffin.
So no fun and games tonight.
Hey, you can rely on me, all right?
About to leave, Elizabeth hesitates and doubles back, going over to Ida, who's reading in bed.
I'm going off duty now.
You're leaving?
Yes. I hope you sleep well. You're not eating?
It was cool when it arrived.
Yeah, we're short-staffed. I could make you some toast. Mm-mm. You must be hungry. How is she?
You know right to ask that question. What sort of a daughter abandons her own mother?
I couldn't stay. Good night, then. I'll see you tomorrow.
I need to go to the bathroom.
Okay, I'll get a nurse to come and help you.
Typical. You'd let a stranger take your own grandmother to the toilet. After you left, she cried every night. Not even a goodbye. No phone call, no letter. Not even a Christmas card.
I sent a Christmas card every year.
Don't lie to me, child.
I never lie. I sent a card every year. First, I stayed with a friend. You remember Amy?
She turned your head.
And then I moved into a bedsit. And I did my nursing exams. I came out top of the year. But I told you this. Put notes in my Christmas card.
Ida goes to wash her hands.
I'm the youngest acting autist they've ever had in this hospital.
The older woman nods, impressed.
Your cards? I think maybe they got lost in the post. If you still want to make that toast, I think maybe I can manage a mouthful.
A smile plays on Elizabeth's lips. In the staff room, Elizabeth methodically butters a couple of slices of toast, then carries them on a plate, together with a mug of tea, onto the ward. As she approaches Ida's bed, she sees her grandma has fallen asleep.
She left a week to roam.
She puts down the plate and mug, then tenderly strokes Ida's hair.
Keep your secrets with you, girl, safe from the outside.
The older woman lies with her head on the pillow, her lined face relaxed in sleep and framed by her thick, dark hair. Now sitting at the bedside, a tired Elizabeth lets her heavy eyelids close as she succumbs to sleep. Outside the hospital, day turns to night, and rows of windows are lit up in the darkness. Both Ida and Elizabeth sleep peacefully on. Jack and Sunil's patients are getting friendly and stopping others on Darwin from sleeping.
Nurse!
My intellectual son is a clown. He runs off and joins the circus.
Shh. Oh, just listen. Sorry, sister.
When a page wakes Elliot up in the on-call room, he chooses to ignore it. Eventually, he sits up and frowns at his pager. Now, he's having a hot drink with Mr. Clark Jones.
Have I been very selfish?
A little thoughtless, perhaps.
She's a very lovely lady.
If you could just... until morning.
I could try whispering?
I think sleeping would be best.
Later, Elliot turns out the lights in his office. On Keller, Ida calls out in her sleep. Elizabeth hits the alarm. Then hurries off. Malik taps a syringe to prepare a shot.
Okay, I'm going to give you some morphine, Mrs. Cameron. It'll help with the pain.
I fell asleep.
You should feel some relief quite quickly now, all right?
Sorry.
Easy, easy. Okay, Mrs. Cameron, try again. Come on.
I am bad.
Don't be stupid.
My mum always said I was bad.
Stop it.
You have the devil in you, child.
What?
You caused your grandmother pain.
Right now you're being weird.
You gave her that toast.
She's a sick old woman.
You have to be punished.
Where's Tate?
The Lord beat the devil away. Bad girl.
Where's Tate?
Bad girl.
You're not bad. You called me. You helped her.
You made her suffer.
No. You made her get better.
Better.
She's asleep now. She's fine. You want to come see?
Elizabeth nods. Ida lies sleeping, attached to a network of tubes.
When I was little, afterwards, Grandma would bring me sweets.
Sasha's wearing a suit jacket and tie.
Good morning. Another day, another Sasha Levy by the look of it.
Just, you improved.
Ah. I've been taking a look at your throughput figures.
Yes.
Very impressive.
Oh, I'm glad you're pleased.
It can be tough down on AAU.
Not tough, perhaps a little challenging.
No problems for you down there then.
Early opportunities.
Like the tie, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Shoes could do with a bit of a polish.
Something's not right.
If you think he's got a problem, have you tried talking to him?
He just shuts his eyes. He won't open up to me. Will you have a go?
Look, it's not my department. He shouldn't even still be on this ward.
Charming, Sasha.
I heard about you staying here all night.
Oh, sorry, Mr. Griffin, I didn't see you.
With Mrs. Cameron?
I wasn't nursing her, I was off duty.
Then you should go home. Look, even in these straitened times, I'm sure we might be able to find the budget for someone to cover.
No need. You can rely on me.
The consummate professional. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Shall we get started?
As the medical students herd after Rick, Elizabeth catches Ida's eye.
You must have had a bed come free in the last 24 hours. What are you on, some sort of power thing here?
What?
This is personal, isn't it?
Sasha, mate, you're getting a bit rattled. Are you sure you can stand the heat down here?
Mr. Levy, it's Robert Parker.
You've developed what we call a hematoma. It's nothing to worry about. I'll sort it out in surgery.
I'll page Mr. Hamilton then, yeah?
No, there's no orthopaedic risk. We needn't bother him. So, just get on with prep, please, Nurse Carter.
Cardiothoracics, that's right. Yes, it's about the policy steering group. It's not too late for me to accept your invitation, is it? Marvellous, thank you. OK, see you then. Bye. Morning.
Morning.
Ooh, bit of an interrupted night last night. Goings on in Bay 3.
Goings on?
Your bypass and Sunil's tummy tuck.
Please tell me you're joking.
Why? Because sex is only for the young and beautiful.
OK, tell me what happened.
Well, sexual congress did not actually take place.
Well, that's a relief.
But your Romeo and Sunil's Juliet managed to keep the whole ward awake most of the night with their talking, giggling and general trysting.
Trysting?
Rather sweet, don't you think?
Not really.
Music, please.
In theatre, Robert is anaesthetised and draped in a blue cloth, which exposes a rectangle of his abdomen.
Knife, please.
Mary Claire offers Sasha the instrument from a tray.
Right, let the dog see the rabbit. Saw the training retractor?
He opens the cavity.
Oh, blimey. Beetroot soup or what? Suction?
There's our hematoma. Let's get the blighter out.
Are you sure? It's very close to the pelvis.
I'm sure. OK, here we go.
Now, this is something that you won't see every day. The patient is a woman in her 70s who was admitted yesterday with acute abdominal pain. FBC showed mild anemia. LFTs indicated malnutrition. However, CTA in duplex showed significant mesenteric
arterial stenosis. Any thoughts? And no, it is not appendicitis.
It's chronic mesenteric ischemia.
Miss Tate.
I've seen it before. It was very painful.
Yes, that's right. It can be very painful. But don't worry. We'll make sure that she's comfortable. Right, ladies and gentlemen, shall we proceed?
The students in scrubs file after Rick, leaving Elizabeth looking bereft by the desk. She turns and sees Ida watching her. Jack scrubbing up for theatre.
Oh, Miss Naylor.
Mr. Barty.
I've just heard that my 11 o'clock surgery has been bumped.
Yes.
To make way for a patient of yours.
That's right.
May I ask why?
Greater clinical need.
Is this normal procedure on Darwin Ward? Bed blocking is one thing, but taking my theatre time...
Mr. Barty, in order for any NHS ward to run smoothly, we have to prioritise the sickest patients, and your tummy tuck is hardly a life-saving procedure. I'm sure you understand.
With an inscrutable smile, he leaves. In Robert's operation...
I can't see a bloody thing. Give me some more light. Swabs.
OK, should I pitch Mr. Hamilton?
No, I've got this under control.
BP's dropping.
Clamps now. Damn, I can't put a clamp on it. Come on. Is that, suction? Page Mr. Hamilton.
Dan comes sprinting along the corridor to theatre.
Turn that damn music off. Why is this man in theatre?
He developed a hematoma, there was a bleed from the internal iliac artery, and there's still flow from the fracture.
And you didn't contact me before operating?
I thought I had it covered. He's still bleeding out, Dan.
The internal iliac must have been compromised by the fracture. OK, I'll reduce the fracture while you sort the artery, but we'll have to work fast.
X-fix, please.
Sasha catches Mary Claire's eye.
Statinsky clamp, please.
Surgery?
I'm considering it, yes.
What are the chances of success?
Not high, but if I don't operate, then food intake is always going to be accompanied by severe abdominal pain. There's a significant risk of bowel infarction and necrosis, and pretty soon she's going to require total parental nutrition.
You think she's strong enough to withstand the procedure?
She's old, frail, malnourished. And the presence of mesenteric angina suggests the entire vascular system is likely to be compromised.
The fact remains that...
So given the patient's age, I'd like you to consider treating her medically. It's in the patient's best interest, I think.
You're not thinking of the patient. You're thinking about the money. If she was 30 years younger, you'd have given her a chance.
Hold on.
You look at her and think, at her age, she isn't worth the cost of your anaesthetic.
Elizabeth.
I know this illness, Mr. Hanson. I've seen it before. You can't not operate.
That's enough, Elizabeth.
Please, Mr. Hanson, don't condemn her to a painful death.
Mr. Griffin's decision.
My office.
Jack goes to see Romeo and Juliet.
Mr. Clark Jones, good morning. Your consent form for the operation, if you could just sign the bottom of page one and then again on page two.
No, thank you.
Well, I'm afraid if you don't sign the form, then you can't have the operation.
No, I don't want the operation.
It's a very straightforward procedure. I've done it many, many times before.
I'm sure you have. I don't doubt your ability.
So?
I'd like to give my theatre slot to Rose.
Rose. I'm afraid you can't do that. You see, patients don't actually determine theatre running orders.
Mr. Barty said it would be an order.
Mr. Barty.
A person doesn't stop being a human being just because they've grown old.
No, of course not. But your grandmother's age is a factor when we weigh up the possible benefits against the...
Against the costs.
Your grandmother is quite frail, Elizabeth. She might not even survive such a major operation. It is a risk.
But shouldn't she be the one to judge whether she wants to take that risk? Mr. Griffin, do you want to be a part of a health service that takes old people's lives and throws them on the scrap heap? You were given your chance.
This procedure is the best available to us. But I have to warn you that there is a possibility that when I open you up, I might find that there's nothing I can do for you.
But there's a chance you'll be able to help.
There's always a chance.
And if you can help, then maybe I'll be able to eat.
I would hope so.
And no pain.
That's the idea. So, would you like me to go ahead?
Elizabeth nods to Ida from the nurse's station.
Yes. Please.
Jack and Sunil.
You talked to my patient?
He was unhappy with the situation.
Well, then you should have referred him to me.
He asked my opinion.
And you put this absurd idea into his head?
No, he was uncomfortable with taking priority over my patient.
You didn't point out to him that his operation might save his life?
His life is not, as I understand it, in immediate danger.
Mr. Barty, you have encouraged a man with a serious heart condition to forego his procedure in the mistaken belief that he can donate his theatre slot to a woman with a flabby belly. That's close to professional misconduct.
There is a phrase, Miss Naylor, with which I am sure you are familiar, linking the words pot, kettle, and black.
Who do you think you are? Waltzing onto our ward in your expensive Italian suit and your nifty little leather shoes, thinking that a couple of jam donuts would be enough to charm us into believing that you're something other than, well, a snake in the grass.
Jack.
Back me up here, Elliot.
Jack.
Please carry on.
Hansen's come in.
The snake in the grass?
Ida's lying on a gurney.
That doctor, he said he wasn't sure whether he could offer me this operation. But you persuaded him?
He'd most likely have done it anyway. He's a good man.
He said it was you.
Ida smiles to herself.
I've never had an operation before.
You'll be fine.
Your mother, if anything happens to me, I want you to phone her.
Nothing's going to happen to you.
Tearfully, Ida nods, then beckons Elizabeth closer, touching a hand to her cheek.
You're a good girl.
Ida's bottom lip starts to tremble. Elizabeth's eyes are full of sorrow as she watches her grandma bless herself before her trolley's wheeled into theatre. In the consultant's office.
The lady was here before me. She should have her operation before me.
Well, your logic is very persuasive, Mr. Clark Jones.
It's only fair.
However, I'm sure you'll appreciate that the NHS cannot simply operate a system of first come, first served.
I tried to explain to the gentleman that on a cardiac ward, a cardiac procedure will always take priority over cosmetic surgery.
Plastic surgery, Miss Naylor?
Plastic surgery, my mistake.
A common error.
Rose needs her op every bit as much as I need mine. She wants to be able to wear a bikini. Ah.
The woman's over 60.
And is there a problem with that?
No, no problem.
Well, thank you so very much for bringing this to my attention. I think we should pencil in your op for next week.
And Rose?
I shall personally make sure that she has her procedure done today.
Thank you. I shall go and pack my case.
Gentlemen?
Ms. Naylor?
Jack shares a look with Elliot as Mr. Clark Jones leaves the office.
Mr. Barty, would you just give us a moment, please?
Of course.
Thank you. Now, I do realise that UCT people pay lip service to the principle that all surgeons are created equal, but I think, in truth, you believe that some surgeons are created more equal than others.
I wouldn't say that. As you know, I spent many years myself working as a general surgeon.
Yes, but for the moment, Miss Naylor, your job is to mend faulty hearts, whereas mine is to decide on hospital policy and the distribution of very scarce resources, and that includes the beds on Darwin. I hope I make myself clear.
Crystal.
Well, that's very gratifying, thank you. In fact, Mr. Barty and Mr. Spence have been telling me they've quite a waiting list for their procedures, so I'm minded to allocate them another bed on Darwin, along with the appropriate theatre slots. Miss Naylor?
Mr. Hansen.
Hello?
Mr. Hansen.
Hansen leaves the room.
Well, thank you for backing me up there, Elliot. I know who not to go to the next time I need some support. I've just made things worse.
Sorry, I've got my policy steering group in 5 minutes.
You really don't give a damn, do you?
Actually, Jack, you're wrong. But there's more than one way to skin a monkey.
Elliot leaves on this parting riposte, giving a tight-lipped Jack pause for thought. Rick's operating on Ida in theatre.
Retractor.
A worried Elizabeth looks on as Rick opens up the abdominal cavity.
This bowel's in terrible shape. But there's no evidence of necrosis. I think we can help her. So, let's uncover the mesenteric. Back, please.
Robert's lying in bed asleep when Sasha stops by and watches him through the glass for a moment before entering the room. Robert opens his eyes.
Welcome back. You're in intensive care. There were complications. We nearly lost you.
You should have let me go.
I'm sorry, I didn't...
I said I wish I was dead.
You're too young to think that.
Yeah, right. Got my whole life ahead of me, right? Marriage and kids.
Don't knock it till you've tried it.
Never gonna try it, am I?
You might.
Never can. I'm not a proper man.
A proper man?
If it wasn't stuck in here, I'd draw you a diagram.
Am I right in thinking, when you were a kid, you had a bump to the head?
Yeah, I fell off a swing. So what?
Don't go away.
Now, Sasha runs down a corridor, then into AAU.
Robert Parker, I need to run a pituitary function test and get me his head CT scan.
In theatre.
Clamps. All good.
You see this abnormality here?
I think so, yeah.
There was damage to your hypothalamus. That was causing your problems under the duvet.
Yeah, but I was only like, what, seven?
All the same.
Mum took me as a casualty. He said I was fine.
Well, nothing they could see.
Impaired pituitary function.
That's the baby.
I just thought I was... impotent.
Good news is, it is completely curable.
Don't joke with me.
I'm not. I give you a pill, you take it once a day. Bingo.
Joanna.
Your girlfriend?
My fiancé. Can you give her a call for me, please?
It'll be my pleasure.
Jack's in Darwin, watching Sunil talking to Rose.
Do you believe Miss Naylor in love at first sight?
No.
Neither did I. Not until yesterday. I bought these for Rose, but she doesn't eat chocolates anymore. I'd like you to have them. I think I called you a saint. Perhaps I should have called you Cupid.
Smiling, he walks off.
Ooh, chockies. May I?
There goes another one of our beds.
For now. Jack, this hospital has a long history of cardiothoracic stretching back to the Paleozoic era.
I know. I was there.
I don't eat chocolate.
It's going to take more than Mr. Hansen and his newfound enthusiasm for plastic surgery to make us extinct. Adapt and survive. Evolution.
Do you think we're going to have to take up Botox and implants?
Ooh. Forgive an old man mixing his metaphors, but when you're in a war, guerrilla tactics are often more successful than head-on battle. I think we have to be more canny. Cultivate friends on the right committees, that sort of thing.
Oh, Elliot.
La luta continua.
Graft is holding. All right, let's remove the clamp. That's one. And that's two.
He looks at an anxious Elizabeth, who's waiting in the viewing gallery.
I think we can close her up.
Thank you.
ST segment elevation.
VT. She's still got a pulse.
Hypertensive.
Let's close her up and get off the table as fast as we can. No pulse. She's arrested. Salmons, quickly. Charge 360. Clear.
In Hanson's office.
Come in.
Mr. Levy.
A young man nearly died today because of me. My resignation.
Sit down, please.
Hanson's still looking at the envelope when Sasha takes a seat opposite him.
Now, you were attempting to fix an abdominal bleed, I believe?
The patient had a fractured pelvis and I dislodged a shard of bone.
That was blocking a tear in the internal iliac artery. Yes, yes, I know. More to the point, though, you didn't know, did you? Not in advance. We can only proceed in good faith with the information available to us.
I put the patient through unnecessary trauma, and this was my first day. I'm just not the sort of doctor this hospital needs on AAU.
I do wish that people would allow me to be the judge of what this hospital does or doesn't need.
Do you think, Mr. Levy, I put you on AAU on a whim? A moment of capriciousness, was it? Or perhaps some zany little idea I dreamt up in the shower one morning? Well, it was none of those things. You see, I understand you subsequently diagnosed an underlying condition that was causing the patient some distress.
Yes.
Your approach to medicine isn't my approach, or Mr. Spencer's approach, or indeed Mr. Hamilton's approach. But it is an approach that I value, and which, moreover, is of great benefit to this hospital. So I don't really have time for this now, I'm afraid. If you must, you'll come and see me again at the end of the day. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hanson cuts a slim, controlled figure as he stares out of the window, barely acknowledging Sasha's departure.
Keep compressions going. Charge again. Clear. Come on. Charge again. Clear. Charge to 360.
Oh, Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
And again. Clear.
Thy kingdom come. I will be done.
Rick stares at the monitors, then shakes his head and sighs heavily behind his face mask.
Time of death?
11:33.
She runs out. Few people in scrubs and white shoes are glimpsed. It's Rick who's chasing Elizabeth up the stairs. She bursts out of a doorway, then rushes down a fire escape.
Please, leave me alone.
Elizabeth, wait.
I'm fine.
Elizabeth, wait. Elizabeth, stop. Stop.
She jogs along an open corridor between the hospital buildings, coming to a stop at the end to lean on a rail.
I'm fine.
You're obviously not fine. Your grandmother's just died.
Bring me sweets.
Rick's placed a hand on her shoulder.
What about your mother? She's gonna need to be told. I can do that if you like.
She shakes her head.
What happened, Elizabeth? Why did you leave home?
She looks reluctant to talk.
I had a Saturday job. I saved up. And I bought myself a new dress. A red dress.
My mum said it was the colour of the devil. And she took her scissors to it. And then she took her belt to me. I thought that time she would never stop. Afterwards, Grandma. But I was 16. Sweets weren't enough anymore.
Her eyes never meet Rick's as she tells her story. Later, Elizabeth's walking through Keller Ward in full nurse's uniform. Her expression is haunted as she strides purposefully towards a door which she opens. She walks up to a window and looks through the glass. Then her gaze drops. Joanna's smiling as Robert raises her hand to his lips and kisses it. Sasha's watching through the glass and witnesses this tender moment. Turning away, he walks along the corridor, then stops and draws his resignation letter from his scrubs pocket. He drops the ripped-up letter in a bin, then walks off. In the recovery room, Elizabeth is standing next to the bed while Ida's body is at rest. She looks down at her grandma, then leans over, places a hand on the older woman's hair, and drops a gentle kiss on her forehead. Jack's stepping inside a lift when Sunil dashes over and gets in. She looks at him briefly, then stares straight ahead, while he reciprocates with a forced smile. In AAU...
Mr. Levy? I've got blood results for bed one, and I'm still waiting on x-rays on bed five.
Mary Claire, can I ask you a favour?
Yes, Mr. Levy.
Could you bear to call me Sasha? I have been such a twit.
Yes, you have.
Faced with his sheepish expression, her face softens into a smile. The pair share a reconciliatory hug before going about their duties. Elizabeth is still in the recovery room, standing beside Ida's body. She reaches into a plastic bag that's on a nearby cabinet and pulls out a mobile phone. Her brow furrows as her gaze shifts from the phone to her grandma and bag. Then, she holds the phone up to her ear.
Hello? Mum?